Professor Jane Kelsey is an advocate and activist and an academic. And we've spoken for a long time about risks associated with free trade agreements. Now, the government says the free trade agreement between our country and the UK is coming into force at the end of the month. The deal will eventually eliminate tariffs on all Kiwi exports to the UK, saving exporters around $37 million a year. Jane was quite a vocal opponent to the TPPA, which became the TPPPPPA or something like that. She's a Professor Emeritus at the Faculty of Law at Auckland University and an advisor with Ngā Tuki Whakarurudanga. And she's with me now to talk about international trade agreements and how they might compromise treaty rights. Thank you for your time again. Tuhine tēnā koe, Jane.
Oh, tēnā koe, yes, I'm sorry you need to trip over all those acronyms.
Yeah, they're pretty long. They got a bit weird, the comprehensive trade agreement, etc. But, you know, as tangata whenua, we've harboured some anxiety about what this could result in, and unless there were provisions to protect our rights under the treaty, a lot of what we deserve was at risk of being sidelined. I know that there is a chapter, as they're calling it, in this agreement with the UK, but even so, there probably aren't as many safeguards to our treaty rights here in Aotearoa as you would deem fit or appropriate. Firstly, your thoughts on this UK trade agreement. Supportive, Jane, or you have some concerns?
Well, first, can I say I'm not speaking for Ngā Tuki Whakarurudanga.
Okay,
I'm
fair enough.
In terms of my own
analysis
here.
Kia ora.
I think there was a lot of hope that maybe a negotiation between the UK and the Crown here might actually set a bar, a high bar, that there could be a high-standard agreement that reflected he whakaputanga me te tiri te waitangi, given that you were dealing with two parts of the Crown. And I think that's the baseline disappointment about this, that rather than addressing existing problems with FTAs and elevating mana Māori in this process, the two parts of the Crown negotiated with each other and produced an agreement that in which the UK unilaterally rejects any responsibility under Te Tiriti o Waitangi. So the references in the agreement to Te Tiriti have this little add-on of in the case of New Zealand. And so that in a symbolic sense is really disappointing, but it's also reflected in the nature of the agreement itself. And if I can just give one example, you raised that there's a particular chapter in there, that there had been some hope that there might be a Tiriti o Waitangi chapter, but what it ended up being diluted down to was a Māori trade and economic cooperation chapter that's not enforceable, that has no promises of resources or indeed any kind of action, and that's overseen by an inclusive trade subcommittee, inclusive's become a buzzword, in which Māori are amongst other stakeholders. And so there's no recognition even of the mana of Māori in the implementation of this, let alone anything concrete based around Te Tiriti.
We're mindful that this could be the thin end of the wedge. This is an FTA with the UK. Of course, in the wings, there's another with the European Union. We've got our Prime Minister at the moment talking economics with the emerging giant economically globally, that's India, and we've also got China in there. Now, we understand, too, that they're about making money, not necessarily protecting Indigenous rights on the other side of the world. How compromised are we, therefore, as these discussions free trade agreements continue? And what are some of your concerns? What do we need to ensure that those negotiating on our country's behalf are aware of so they can prioritise issues important to us?
Well, I think since the TPPA and all the big protests around that and then the big Waitangi Tribunal claim, there has been some shift in thinking in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Trade, but it's very incremental along a long spectrum. And so, for example, this was a kind of secretive negotiation again, as has been the one with the EU, and those who've been allowed to see stuff have had to sign secret squirrel agreements to say they won't tell anybody what they've seen. And that in itself is a problem, that these need to be treaty-based governance frameworks for dealing with this. The EU FTA that you mentioned goes downhill in one way, in that this trade and economic cooperation chapter is actually even weaker in the EU one, but it's stronger in some other areas that the Crown is sensitive about. For example, it found to have breached the Treaty of Waitangi obligations in relation to the digital area, the potential for Māori data sovereignty, Māori digital governance, and so on. And so there is a much stronger protection in this EU agreement. But the problem is it's all ad hoc, and the Crown controls what the protections will be and what trade-offs they'll make for other interests and other gains elsewhere. And Māori aren't at that table. And there is a question at the same time about what the economic gains, commercial gains to Māori might be from this. In the UK one, I think it was projected that there would be, excuse the numbers, 13 million additional GDP for Māori in 15 years' time. Now, 13 million in a Māori asset base estimated at 68 billion is about 0.0002%. So if you're looking at what the supposed economic gains from this are, put the rhetoric aside, but the actual tangible gains. There are serious questions about what the justifications are for the agreements and what trade-offs and prices Māori may pay, but more importantly, why in Aotearoa we don't now have a treaty-based approach to negotiating these agreements where Māori and the Crown are equals at the table to protect the interests of both.
Tēnā koe, look, you're preaching to the converted today, Jane. I know you've been involved here, and it concerns me because we've not seen a lot of other Māori academic voices, and I know you've been very influential to a lot of our people's thinking through your mahi over the years, but at times it feels like you're flying the flag on our behalf, but not a lot of soldiers beside you. And just following in on that cordial, I mean, I spoke to Mike Smith about the government spending 140 mil to subsidise New Zealand Steel to reduce emissions of the Glenbrook site. And when you stack up the dosh you're just talking about, the latter pales into insignificance, really, when you consider the gains that are to be made here. Look, we've got very important discussions here. We do need to protect what we've fought so hard to achieve in the last 200 years and trying to address the injustices of the past. And what should we, as Māori, expect from our Crown and trade officials who effectively are negotiating these arrangements?
I think we have to start with education and empowerment of Māori to have a voice, because this is so often treated as a really remote trade. Who's interested in trade? That's about slabs of butter and maybe a bit of manuka honey. But this is about intellectual property. It's about mātauranga. It's about te paio. It's about everything now. And really good news that last week now Tōke Whakarururanga received a grant as part of Te Pai Tawhiti to do some of that outreach and empowerment work around matters like waka kaiora and rongoa and the culture sector and digital. And so hopefully that kind of education and empowerment can take place, and it's then that the Crown will start, I think, to take much more seriously its treaty obligations in terms of an equal place at the table. But the problem is, meanwhile, they continue negotiating more and more agreements, and so it's a stopgap whilst that real transformative process starts.
Jane, as always, I appreciate your thoughts and the stimulation it provides to us to consider these international trade arrangements more carefully and the implications it has, not just on Aotearoa of 2023, but certainly for those who will inherit the land and the mahi going forward. Always a pleasure, Te Tuhine. Thanks for sharing some kōrero with us today.
Likewise.
Tēnā koe, Jane. Thanks so much. That's Professor Jane Kelsey.